Age-Friendly Health Systems, 4Ms Care in Nursing Homes, a conversation with Amanda Meyer of the Institute for Healthcare Improvement. This webinar included a visual PowerPoint presentation. To view a video recording, visit the link in the description of this podcast.
Good afternoon, and welcome to our series of webinars focused on bringing you information about COVID-19 related topics. The information in these weekly webinars is geared toward long-term care and skilled nursing facilities, but we encourage everyone who's interested to attend. My name is Kathy Caudill. I'm a communications specialist with Quality Insights. Today's webinar topic is Age-Friendly Health Systems, 4Ms Care in Nursing Homes. And now I'd like to introduce our guest today, Amanda Meyer. Amanda is a project manager with the Age-Friendly Health Systems team at IHI. She is a gerontologist who has spent her career in collaboration with older adults in long-term care, subacute rehabilitation, and hospice. She earned her undergraduate degree in social work from the University of Montana and an MA in gerontology from the University of Northern Colorado. And I apologize if I'm saying that wrong. Maybe it's gerontology. Amanda, thank you for joining us today. Which one is it?
It's gerontology.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. And thank you to all of you for welcoming me into this call today. I am Amanda, as Kathy mentioned, and I work for the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, IHI. We're a global nonprofit focused on healthcare improvement worldwide, really lots of global things going on. But I personally am in Colorado and headed up to Steamboat Springs with my family for a little skiing over spring break after this call. So I'm excited to wrap up my week with all of you. And I'm excited to talk to you all about the age-friendly health systems movement and how nursing homes and other kinds of subacute rehab can become involved in this movement. Alice would normally be here with me today, but she was unable to join, so I will be the only one. If you haven't heard of age-friendly health systems, you can read a little bit more about the mission here and on IHI.org. You can always find out more as well. But the mission of age-friendly is to build a movement, a societal movement, all throughout the U.S. and even beyond now, so that all care provided to older adults with older adults is age-friendly care. And what we mean by that is that every interaction that a clinician or a healthcare setting has with an older adult is guided by what I will introduce to you as an essential set of evidence-based practices that we call the 4Ms. When this framework is practiced, it causes no harms to the older adults or their caregivers, and it's consistent, most importantly, with what matters the most to them. And I'll tell you a little bit more about how that happens. But there's a bit of history that I think is interesting for people when they're learning about age-friendly, and that's that we've been around for a little while now. This really started in 2017 when IHI and some other healthcare experts came together around care for older adults and looking at the many, many evidence-based frameworks that are available to sort of practice care by, and in learning and figuring out that they're really sporadic. And there's not much consistency or reliability in what people are doing across geography, across different care settings. And so this group brought all of these frameworks together and found what they had in common and what might be different about them. And they distilled it down to what seemed essential out of those and that really addressed what mattered to the older adult. And that's where we come up with the 4Ms. So that's been happening since 2017. And we started practicing and piloting and testing age-friendly health systems and the 4Ms in hospital settings. Then in about 2019 or so, we started testing in ambulatory primary care practices and specialty practices. And then in 2020, which is, you know, the most amazing timing as usual, we started our pilots with 5 different nursing homes and learned a lot through those pilots about how, as we all know, as people that work in nursing homes, that the care and the people are different in that setting. And the way that the 4Ms are practiced is different as well. So the 4Ms, as you can see here in this graphic, we believe, and it's supported by evidence, they represent the core issues for most older adults. They are what matters: mobility, mentation, and medication. And this is really not meant to be practiced in a silo. It's really meant to be a framework that guides care at every interaction. And you'll notice and you'll be saying in your minds that we nursing homes already do this work. And I agree. I've worked in nursing homes most of my life. And I think that there is probably no better setting that's poised to really make a lot of progress within age-friendly health systems just by virtue of how the MDS is structured, how your teams are structured as interdisciplinary, how you're all talking to each other all the time anyway about patients and residents. But I would also encourage that there's a lot of growth within this as well. Most nursing homes have some way that they are assessing what matters, for example, to a resident. But sometimes it only has to do with advanced care plan and end of life. And when we say what matters, we really are, what drives that person to get up that day? What makes them happy? You know, what are the activities that provide value and joy in their life? And so there's always ways to make that more consistent and improve it. And that's really what age-friendly health systems is all about. Sometimes the first reaction we might have to this is, oh my gosh, this is one more thing. We don't have time for one more thing. And of course, we recognize very much in our hearts the staffing and just the logistical issues that are happening all over in nursing homes across the US and how challenging that is. And I want to reassure you that I've in the last year that I've worked directly with nursing homes that are working with this framework and implementing age-friendly health systems in their facilities, in the end, it actually reduces what the time and the burden, if we're going to call it that, of what the care looks like for residents. And I can use an example from one of our VA facilities, one of their community living centers, which is their version of a nursing home. They implemented this framework and they started with it in their stand-up meetings, like their IDT meetings. We used to have them every single morning and sometimes they would last many hours. Theirs were 2 days a week and that was lasting about 8 hours a week total. When they used this framework instead and started every discussion about a resident by what matters to them, and then keeping those other three M's in mind in the discussion, they were able to shorten that to 2 hours a week. And so it just shows that when there's a consistent way of approaching things, sometimes we can actually save ourselves time in the end, even if it feels like it's just one more thing. This slide lists some of the key actions. We have one for each setting, but that might be a little more specific to nursing homes. Always for age-friendly health systems and the four M's, there's an assess component and there's an act on component, which again is not different than what you're doing with MDS assessments all the time in nursing homes. And I can also say that the BIMS and the CAM, the assessment that's built into the MDS for delirium, those are considered age-friendly tools and they meet the requirements. And so those are things you'll already be doing that you won't have to think of something new to assess delirium and dementia. The important part we really focus on a lot when I talk to you about an action community in a little bit is how we go from assessing to acting on. And how we're doing it now and how we could improve it in the future. Perhaps we're assessing what matters. Perhaps that social worker is going in and doing some kind of assessment that gets at what matters to that resident. But maybe then it's getting put in a point-click care plan that the CNAs can't read. How is everyone seeing that information? And how do we act on it to better the lives of residents and improve care? So we'll send these slides out afterwards. I won't go through every single piece of it. We certainly do that when you sign on to the movement. I talked a little bit about piloting and how we started testing age-friendly health systems in the four M's in, I think it was five different nursing homes in 2020. Through that process, we came up with this tool that's on screen. And there's a link that'll be in the slides that you receive. And it's the Guide to Care of Older Adults in Nursing Homes. And again, there's one of these for a hospital and there's one of these for an ambulatory setting, but this one will be completely specialized and personalized to the testing that we did with real nursing homes across the US. It helps your staff, whoever's going to kind of be the leader of this movement, talk about it, understand it, and how to build that will to participate among your staff and your residents and the family members as well. Really about how we communicate to each other consistently, how this can be done even like over care transitions eventually, where hospitals are age-friendly and primary care practices and nursing homes. And pretty soon, we can all speak that language when we're discharging and admitting residents, and they'll understand what you mean, and you'll understand what they mean in kind of a way that makes that transition a little bit more smooth. We also love to encourage all age-friendly health systems to advertise to the community what the great work they're doing. And when you're recognized There's a whole way that we provide a kind of a press kit where you can do that as well. This is a unique tool. Ambulatory care and hospital settings have their own workbook or their own guides, just like the nursing home that was just on the screen. But when we were doing that testing, as some of you probably are aware, a lot of nursing homes have much different technological capabilities. One I've worked in not so unrecently was still using pen and paper to chart. And so there wasn't electronic EMR capability. It's a different culture from nursing home to nursing home. And so what we realized that there was a need for more robust and specific tools that nursing homes could pick from to try to help them along on the journey. And so that's what the workbook is. And it, only the nursing homes have one of these. It has printable things in case there's not EMR capability for tracking, or if, you know, CNAs don't have the ability to document in an EMR, but you want them to be a part of tracking something for what matters or one of the other four M's, then we have those available in this workbook. There are a number of ways that nursing homes can become involved in the age-friendly health systems movement. And I want to say right now before I forget that any of that involvement is free. There's no cost at any point of this. This is all funded by the Johnny Hartford Foundation. And so they underwrite all of our abilities to come out and do education about age-friendly health systems, run action communities like I'll talk about in a minute, and support you maybe in a more do-it-yourself manner. So I'll save the action community conversation for the next slide. But these last two bullets, scale-up partnerships are something that we can support if you're an organization that has more than one nursing home. Let's say that you have an umbrella that oversees five or six, and you're interested in all of them joining the age-friendly health systems movement and getting recognized. Then we can talk about how consistent the different kinds of care are in those nursing homes and perhaps get them recognized just with one submission rather than six different submissions. And then the do-it-yourself pathway is for teams that maybe don't want to commit to the action community, which I'll address in a minute, and feel like they read over the workbook and the guide and think, you know, we're doing most of this already. We're pretty confident that we could tweak a few things and fill out the paperwork. It's called a care description, and submit it to IHI and get recognized that way. That's totally fine. Many nursing homes, probably over half of them, take the DIY pathway. You still have access to direct support from myself and Alice Bonner and our team at IHI, where we can, you know, meet with you one-on-one in calls to go over the paperwork and make sure the assess and the act on are checking all the boxes and help you through that process. And so that can be done, you know, probably in a matter of weeks rather than the action community, which is a much different way of joining. The action community started this month, actually. It's not too late to join. We take registrations up until probably the 1st of May. We've only had one webinar so far and it was recorded. So there's no problem joining now or even into April if you need some time to think it over. But the action community is really an all teach, all learn virtual community with all of your peers that are registered. So there's hospitals, there's ambulatory settings, and there's nursing homes. We've got about 20 nursing homes signed up right now. They're all across the country. We've got a couple in Australia and one in Canada, and then just, you know, rural, urban, representing large companies or small companies, everything is represented there. And over 7 months together, we learn about the four M's in depth from faculty experts. We talk about quality improvement and the steps of what that looks like in relation to age-friendly health systems with from an improvement advisor. We have team webinars where those are an hour long once a month, where we do those deep dives into the four M's and quality improvement. And then the other part of IHI's action community that's fairly unique is the ability to connect with your peers in peer coaching calls. And the first one is in April for all the settings. And that's part of my role, is to support all three settings in those peer coaching calls. And we also have Alice Bonner and Joanne Reifsnyder, who was a CEO of Genesis for many years, as faculty support in those peer coaching calls. And in those hour-long, once a month-ish calls, a little less than that, it's only nursing homes. That's all that will be there. And we'll only be talking about age-friendly and the four M's in the context of what it means for you and what it means for your facility. What kind of roadblocks are you running into? What successes are you having? We'll have case studies from nursing homes that were recognized in our last couple of action communities, how they went about it, how they got staff buy-in, you know, all of the good information that will help you along in the journey. So you'll come to the action community learning a lot, but you will also have things to teach other people about what your best practices are and how you've decided to move along the journey. And so that's something that we focus on intensely in the action community is how we all support each other. And so it's really a lot of fun. You will make connections, not only at IHI, but with your partner nursing homes all over that can be useful into the future as well. So do it yourself, a little lower touch. The action community is definitely higher touch. Do know that if you register and you start coming to the webinars and the peer coaching calls and you're like, oh, I think I can do this at this point, there's no commitment to continue doing it the whole time. You can go ahead and fill out your care description and get recognized at any point during the action community. I think I've covered a lot of this. I want to focus on the recognition piece and then the resident patient satisfaction piece here. What comes at the end of your work to become age-friendly is recognition. And that comes from IHI and it comes from the Johnny Hartford Foundation. And there's two different levels of recognition. Level one is when you have just told us your plan. And so we fill out a care description. It's probably about 6-7 pages long, covers all the 4 M's, assess and act on. Again, you'll already be doing quite a bit of it and you'll just be finding those gaps or those spots where you can make small changes to improve. You turn that into IHI. We take a couple weeks to review it. Either at that point it will be accepted or we a lot of times email back with a little bit of feedback around a couple of sections. Go back and forth like that. Doesn't usually take a super long time. And then you'll be recognized as level one. And that's all. It's just a plan. You won't actually have done anything to, and maybe you had, but you don't have to. You're turning in what the outline is going to look like, that you've looked at your current state, you've looked at the 4 M's, you figured out how to close that gap and what you're going to be doing. So level one recognition as a participant is just turning in your plan. Then level two recognition is called committed to care excellence. And that's when you take that plan and you really put it into action. And you turn in counts to IHI, flat counts, no denominators, just, hey, in April, we had 5 residents that got all 4 M's, however you're going to track that. And then in May, we got 7 residents that had all 4 M's. And maybe in July, I had 16. And you're improving along the way and how you're reaching people and how you're practicing this framework of the 4 M's with all of the residents. And you turn in for 3 months. They do not have to be in a row. And again, no, it's not a complex number. It's just a flat number of how many residents have received the 4 M's, and then you will recognize at level two, which is committed to care excellence. Your name's listed on the website. You're going to get press kits for each level. Facilities make banners and hang them up with the logo. You're allowed to put them on t-shirts or whatever it is that you think might motivate and really share your good work with your hospital partners, with families, with your marketing department. If you think that's helpful to get out there and show off what you're doing, we encourage all of that. And then this last bullet I added in this year, after spending a lot of time with nursing homes and going through the journey with them and hearing over and over again that, yes, it improved the care of the residents. Yeah, and that is obviously the gold standard that we're looking for, but that it's also creating some kind of increased, improved teamwork, camaraderie among staff. When they're going on this journey, people start talking the same language. They become empowered we're encouraging them to take on quality improvement at all levels of staff and having ownership of that. And it's creating some really positive results in a time where I think we could all welcome that, especially in the nursing home setting. So we're embarking this next 3 years on a goal of spreading age-friendly like through entire huge health systems. And so we'll be focusing, we have a few nursing home companies involved in that work and hoping to really get nailed down some of the outcome results so that we can, you know, share that widely and get people to realize how how beneficial this movement is in general. Here's a quote from one of our medical directors at a nursing home that was recognized, I think, about a year and a half ago. You see he mentions the staff morale and engagement, and then also those clinical outcome measures that were improved, the fewer falls, fewer disruptive behaviors, increased documentation of what matters, and that they had actually found it somewhat easy to implement. On the website and in this, when you get these slides, you'll be able to click on these links to all the case studies of the five nursing homes that piloted age-friendly health systems. What that looked like, looked different in each one of them, I promise you, and what came out of that. So those can be a really great resource to learn more. That is the end of my spiel, but I'd love to answer any questions that anyone has.
I don't see any questions in the chat. Amanda, is there anything else you wanted to add before I wrap us up?
No, I don't think so. Really appreciate the opportunity and look forward to meeting whoever would like to talk more.
Amanda, I'd like to thank you for joining us today, and we'd like to thank all of you for joining us and hope to see you back here again next week.
If you would like to contact Amanda Meyer, you can reach her at ameyer@ihi.org. That's ameyer@ihi.org. You can check out our other interviews at qualityinsights.org/QIN/multimedia.